Happy Thursday, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the East Coast Conference Podcast. National Athletic Training Month is held every March to raise awareness of the critical work of athletic trainers as healthcare professionals, and I am extremely pleased to welcome three star athletic trainers within the ECC. We have on today Damon University Assistant Athletics Director for Sports Medicine and Performance, Jeff Sage, Mercy University Head Athletic Trainer, Billy Elliott, and the College of Staten Island Assistant AD for Sports Medicine, Allison Ocasio. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Hi, Nikki.
Thanks, Nikki.
Excited to have you guys on. So the first question here, Jeff, we're going to kick it off with you. What inspired you to become an athletic trainer, and why did you specifically choose the collegiate setting?
Well, I grew up in a small town. I had no idea what athletic trainers were, who they were, that it even existed. I tell the story that it goes back to, you know, senior in high school, you meet with a guidance counselor. This is well before computers. So you actually had to meet with a person, and they had a stack of books, which were college catalogs, behind them. So I explained what I wanted to do. At the time, I thought it was physical education. He turned around, pulled a book off a shelf, threw it across the desk and said, take a look at SUNY Brockport. They got a good PE program. I went home that night. I did what I was told. As I was flipping through the physical education program, I came across this page that said athletic training. And I started reading. And in that moment, in that paragraph, I said to myself, I might even said it out loud. I said, that's it. That's what I want to do. That's who I want to be. And that's how I discovered it. And why collegiate athletic training? I really enjoyed my collegiate years. I really thought that it was a transformative time of my life. You know, you're moving in this transitional period from a kid, an adolescent, to being an adult. And I found it very rewarding in that time. So as I went through my career, I've worked in many, many settings in high school, even with professional athletes. And I really found that the collegiate setting is where I felt I had the most impact and could do the most good for me, giving what I knowledge back to the student athletes.
Allison, do you share that same inspiration in terms of how you got into this line of work?
Similar to growing up, I was always in sports. Primarily basketball was the sport of choice for me. There was a college fair, actually. So that's how I learned about athletic training. There was a college fair and there was a bunch of schools I was looking at. All I knew was that something athletic based. So when I started looking deeper into it, I realized, all right, PE seems cool, similar to Jeff. But I'm like, I feel like there's something more. I wanted something that was more like medical related also. And then when I found out about athletic training, it was immediately that. That was the immediate choice. And then I went to a school, lucky enough, Barry University, that had athletic training, but they also had sports management and a bunch of other sports related majors that if I didn't like it, I had a backup. So that's how I personally got into it. Because my fear was that if I didn't like it, what would be the next steps? So I went to a school that had that ability to change, worst case.
Sure. Barry University down in Florida doesn't sound too bad right now.
Does not sound bad at all.
Billy, what was your career path to get to your current position at Mercy?
So I started my bachelor's at King's College in Pennsylvania. Did 4 years there, played soccer while I was in school, which is kind of how I got into athletic training in the first place. After graduating from King's, I went to Syracuse University where I did my exercise science master's, where I was working as a grad assistant athletic trainer, mostly with their football program. Did some with the other sports when they needed us, but most of my time was spent with football. So spent 2 years at Syracuse. After Syracuse, I've been at Mercy since 2014, the fall of 2014. So that has been my short slash long career at Mercy.
Awesome. What do we feel, we'll start with Allison on this one. What do we feel is the most rewarding part of the job? And then of course, conversely, what is the most challenging part?
All right. So in my opinion, the most rewarding part is the outcomes you get. So when a student athlete gets injured, the worst, it's the worst day of their lives. And you being able to be the person that could help that process and then see them all the way through to a return to play, that's definitely the most rewarding part. I think secondly is the relationships you build with the student athletes and them building that trust with you. But just having that relationship and a good return to play and seeing the positive sides of athletics is really the best part. But then the challenge, especially for athletic training, is the demand. Athletic training There's no 9 to 5 here. There is a 7 to 5 or a 7 to 7, depending, or even every single weekend. You may not even get a day off. So the biggest challenge is definitely that it's the personal side. It's being okay with not always being at everything. But the pro definitely outweighs it, no doubt about it.
Billy, I think you can speak a little bit to the challenging part of having to be on all the time in your position at Mercy. Share a little bit more of that with us.
Yeah, so obviously I do share the same thing Allison just talked about with the relationship with the athletes and the pros of getting someone back to the field. But being here by myself and spending 12 hours a day in the training room inside when I got into athletic training to not sit behind a desk basically is very stressful. It is very draining. Getting in, like this morning, I got in at 7. I'm not leaving until 6. Yesterday it was 6 to 6:30. That's the most stressful part for me. Like I try to be in a good mood for the athletes as best as I can every day, every second of the day. And that's also hard for me, is keeping that energy up for 12 hours.
Jeff, what's a piece of advice you would give to someone trying to break into the collegiate athletic training field? Get a lot of
Yeah.
sleep.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a grind, you know, and I think that, you know, any college athletic position is, right? And one thing about athletic training, right? And if those that are unfamiliar, is you may only see us during contests, right? In the public space, right? That is a very short point of what it is that we do, right? That's the public part of what we do. But as Billy said, right? And Allison alluded to, right? We're spending hours before and after, outside of the spotlight, outside of the camera, and a lot of that just goes unrecognized because people don't see it, right? And it is a grind, and I think all of college athletics is a grind. However, there is a certain passion that I think every athletic trainer has that, for better or worse, we like the grind. Some it's a drive. It is the part that we play in the process with the teams with which and the student athletes with which we have the privilege to work with, that we get to be part of their success. And even if it's even us, right, we get to see the hard work that they do. And yes, if they get injured, and we may be part of the process, but we get to enjoy their successes all along the way. So it's a grind. So my advice to people would be, you have to come in eyes wide open, right? This is what it's going to be. It's gotten way better. I've been doing this a very long time, and the life of athletic training is better now than what it used to be on almost every account. The pay has gotten better. The hours necessarily haven't gotten better, but we're all trying to add staff to trying to achieve balance. And we need more athletic trainers in the profession to achieve that balance. And if we can reach a staffing level which will allow everybody to have a equitable work-life balance, it's gonna be better for everybody, right? We're gonna be refreshed. We're not gonna get burned out as easily, and the grind isn't gonna seem so hard, and we can have those opportunities and be fresh more. So, advice: come in eyes wide open. You got to know your worth, what you're coming into, and advocate for yourself in terms of, hey, what do I need? Or I need a break. You know, maybe we need to get some per diem help if we don't have the full-time people. What can we do to sustain ourselves, which ATs aren't always good about, right? We're always concerned about other people, not necessarily about ourselves, but what can we do to self-advocate and get ourselves through? Because here we are March, right? And you know, we see the glimmer at the end of the tunnel, right? The academic year is coming to an end, but you know, we still got about 8, 10 weeks to go, depending on how far teams go in the postseason in the spring.
My next question is, what does a typical day look like for a collegiate AT during the height of a season? But I feel maybe that the answer there is that there isn't a typical day. Allison, why don't we start with you on that?
So every day is dependent on what we have for that day. At CSI, it's myself and Mishi, my assistant athletic trainer. And we basically work with each other from the moment we start. So typical day, one of us will usually come in early, start with pregame practice treatments. then go right into practices. So depending on what's going on, we'll go out for practices, usually sometimes for the outdoor sports. Indoor sports, we'll stay in our offices and just do treatments for whomever could come in the mornings. A lot of the post-ops or students with more significant injuries that need to come in often, we'll try to get them done in the morning. And then post-game practices, usually classes start at 10:10. Got to get them out as quickly as possible. From around 10 to 2, it really is just scheduled rehabs, paperwork, anything that we need to do to make the athletic training room great. Afternoon practices, depending on the sports, same exact thing again, practice pre-practice treatments and then post-practice treatments afterwards. For game days, it becomes a little bit more crazy because let's say if it's a weekend, if a game starts at 12 o'clock, athletic training room is usually open at 9 a.m. And if there's early practices, we're there even earlier than that. So it really just depends on the day. Every athletic training room is different depending on how much staff you have. We're lucky enough that we've created a good balance of trying to figure it out for us. And similar to what we were just saying, our goal is to try to have our athletic trainers have good work-life balance to the best of our ability. It's not possible for every single day. Let's be realistic on the seasons. When it's turnaround seasons, that's 100% not even possible. But to the best of our ability, if we need to bring a per diem in, we will try to do so. We have a couple of great ones, but every day is different. It's whatever the day gives us, basically, when we make it work.
Billy and Jeff, this year you've hosted an ECC championship where you've had multiple teams on campus at once. Billy, we'll start with you. With women's volleyball in the fall, you had four teams. What does that look like for you?
I mean, it just was more teams on campus. It really, with me being here all the time anyway, it was, I brought in a per diem so that I had other coverage for everything else going on during that time. Once we have the plan in place, it's really just make sure it stays smooth or as smooth as you can. Really, I operate every day. Okay, you don't know what's going to happen, but you plan for everything to happen so that when something does happen, you're ready for it. I think like that's the biggest thing with emergency planning anyway, is your plan for anything possible to happen. Hopefully you don't have to use it. If everything's planned out properly, the day is easy. Just adding a couple more teams to the campus is just another day in the or a weekend in the life of an athletic trainer.
Jeff, the ECC men's and women's basketball tournaments both up at Damon, four teams on each side. Of course, two of those eight teams were your Damon Cats, but same question as Billy, what is that, how does that affect your realm?
Yeah, I mean it's busy, right? You got a lot of people coming and going. The timing of it actually worked well for us because it was our sort of our spring break. So many of our teams, most of our teams were actually off. We only still have one team that's still here, lacrosse, and they're still going around. But otherwise, we didn't really have to ask any teams not to be here. Whereas when we've done the volleyball championships in the fall, we've had to kind of work, I'll tell our teams, hey, during here and here, we may need to move treatment times or we may need to manipulate things to make it work. So we have the space available for our visitors. Specific to the basketball tournament, it just happened to work out timing wise that it fell during spring break. So we didn't have a whole lot of a crossover or conflict with our current groups. You know, we're fortunate enough that, you know, for these, Billy came and joined us and Misha came and joined us from CSI. So you know, most teams traveled. So it's always helpful when the visiting teams do bring their AT and it's helpful for the host, but obviously it's a better experience for their own student athletes because they have their own person there and it makes everything go smooth. So yeah, I mean I appreciate that. Anytime we've hosted things when people are able to travel, it's helpful for us.
Allison, how do you manage the work-life balance in this profession? What are some maybe mental health tips and tricks that you do for yourself?
Just finding the things that make you happy. After work, especially, you don't have a lot of time to yourselves once you have to do the typical adulting things like cooking or just being an adult. So I think it's just finding things that make you happy is really a big thing. Like I like doing something as simple as walking my dog or watching a TV show or working out or something just that makes you happy because you don't get a lot of those times. And just finding something that could be your thing is always great. Like I always try to do a date night, if possible, with my wife once a month. That's something I look forward every single time because that one thing that I'm like, all right, you want to know what? This may be really rough right now, but at least on Saturday, I know I'm going somewhere to have some time away from all of the craziness. So it's just finding those little moments because it does get hard, especially during those turnover seasons.
Staying along the line of mental health for student athletes, Jeff, how have you seen your role as an AT evolve to include more focus in that area?
Yeah, I mean, it's again, I've been doing this a long time. So years ago, right? Nobody talked about it, right? And things happen and everybody was just mouth shut. You did go about your day. We wouldn't ask, they wouldn't say, and we knew something was bothering them, but that's kind of the way it was. And I do, you know, I think the whole COVID experience changed a lot of things in our world. And I do think even though the trend towards mental health awareness and mental health attention happened before then, but certainly after that 2020 time, it has really taken off and it has become ever so present. And it's about time, you know, that we're not only talking about the physical injury, we're talking about the mental side of the injury. And not only the mental side of an injury, just the whole mental health awareness of what else is going on in their life that could be affecting them that may have nothing to do with athletics. Right. And we all have that going on in our lives, right? And we all manage that differently. And, you know, taking away the stigma of hey, have you talked to a counselor? You know, do you want to talk to a counselor? They're available. And it sometimes it's not even a mental health counselor. Sometimes it can be, when we're talking about athletes, it can be performance related. So is there a sports performance coach who can maybe talk through some things with which you're struggling, right? And you know, there are some lines that cross, but at least I can speak for our people here, right? We if those lines start to be broached, then it's like, hey, you know, I think we really need to have you talk to this other person and like that. And you know, I think that having the door open and having some transparency when we do sense these things as a healthcare provider, that hey, is there more to the story? You know, let's get them aside, away from the group, away from the chaos, have an open discussion. Many times they'll open up to you. There are some times they don't right away. And sometimes you gotta work a little bit, right? You gotta maybe try a different way or make a different approach. And you know, they may open up. But the whole goal in this is to help them through this period of their life, right? And navigate not only the academics that they're having to do, but also manage the sports, right? Because it's not easy. Right. And if it was easy, more people would do it, and it's not. And so we're here and we see all sorts of things. Again, Billy and Allison know this, right? There's a whole lot of stuff that we hear and gets said and is discussed in the AT room that is, you know, it's a safe space, right? It what's said in there stays in there. And you know, we do our best to help all of our athletes get what they need, whether that's the physical care or whether that's the mental care.
Well, and you saying that, I think that's a nod to you guys because student athletes have to feel like they're in a safe space to talk about what they want to talk about. So kudos to you. Allison, did you have something to add to
That's
that?
exactly what I was just going to add. I was going to say that the athletic training room, the biggest thing you could do is creating a safe place because our student athletes already have a lot of hectic places on campus that they don't feel comfortable at. That them finding that one place that they're willing to have those conversations at is always it's always a plus. It's building that rapport with our student athletes that if something is happening, that they're automatically the first person they want to come to is us. Because I think the biggest thing is that the stress of being an athlete is big enough that they just need to feel comfortable sometimes. Building that place is a huge one.
You know, a time where athletes don't feel like themselves, right, is when they're not able to play, whether that's through injury or anything else. Billy, how do you manage the pressure from coaches, parents, or the athlete themselves to return to play quickly? I know you guys get pressure.
But the biggest thing is communication with them. If they don't know what's going on with themselves, and they feel like they can go and play, but they don't know, okay, everyone knows ACL. They're not going to play through that. The biggest one's concussion. The biggest one is 100% concussion. A kid comes off the field and they're like, I just got hit in the head. I feel fine. But 10 seconds later, they're complaining that they have a headache or they're dizzy or they have something else. And that's when you hear it. But then they still like push it off. The hardest thing for me is I'm not out there all the time. So someone comes in and they're like, yeah, I got hit in the head 2 days ago and now I have symptoms and what should I do? And I'm like, well, we're going to sit now because we have to and we need to protect your brain. But they're like, well, I'm okay. No, you're not okay. You're not feeling okay. We need to like you have to explain to him what's going on, what the consequences are of playing through something so severe as a concussion or any other musculoskeletal thing. We were just talking about the mental health stuff. There's certain things that people shouldn't be even playing through with that. But when we talk about concussions or mental health, you can't see that. Coach can't see that all the time. So having them understand what's going on with themselves is the biggest thing. Having that discussion with their parents, having that discussion with the coaches. Once they understand it, it's a lot easier for them to get on your side of, okay, we're being held out for an appropriate reason.
Want to get into a little bit more about some fun facts about each of you to give a little behind the scenes to our listeners. Allison went to school in Florida, which we talked about earlier, worked in a hospital setting for a bit as an AT with a couple of professional football teams. Talk to us about that.
After I graduated from Barry, I came back home for a little bit and worked at a PT setting, but wanted to try something different. Went back to Florida and worked in the Baptist Hospital system as a physician extender slash athletic trainer. There, I worked with the team doctor, Dr. Yagnik and Dr. Jordan, who are the team doctors for the Miami Dolphins as well as the Florida Panthers. Really cool experience, very different from what I do here every single day. It was more like I was in a setting that I was more like a nurse almost in a sense. And I would evaluate an athlete when they would come in, and then a doctor would come in and do everything else basically. We would deal with post-ops, taking out stitches, staples, all that stuff. Very different from what we would do here every single day, but it was very insightful. It was very interesting to see that side of athletics because as an athletic trainer, you usually only see what we do, like as athletic trainers in schools and stuff like that. But with different settings becoming very big in athletic training, like physician extender, there's athletic trainers working in Amazon nowadays, that it's interesting just to see what else was out there for the moment. I loved my experience. It was great. I was there for about a year and a half, but very quickly I realized I was a sideline college athletic trainer. That was the stuff that really, really felt rewarding to me. So that's when I actually got this job at CSI and came back home, basically.
Jeff, you currently serve as a chairperson on the National Athletic Training Association Intercollegiate Council for Sports Medicine. That's a mouthful. What do you enjoy about that role?
Yes. So everything's about abbreviation. Yeah, the NATAICSM Division II. It is a mouthful. So yeah, it's been a great honor. It's been about a year now, almost a year. It'd be a year in June. You know, it really is an opportunity on a national level to interact with other collegiate athletic trainers, specifically at Division II. I'm the chairperson, and then there are four representatives in different parts of the country. So we're the Division II panel, but I'm also part of the greater ICSM, the Intercollegiate Council on Sports Medicine, which is one of, if not the largest, one of the largest council committees of our national organization, the National Athletic Trainers Association. We get an opportunity to advocate, obviously, for the profession, but specifically for collegiate athletic trainers. And yesterday, online, if anybody had an opportunity to listen to it, that we had a town hall. We do that. We're trying to do it once a quarter. And yesterday it was about fueling sources and nutrition specific to the collegiate athlete. We'll have a meeting in our national convention in June. The whole purpose of the Intercollegiate Council is to advocate for collegiate athletic trainers. One thing that we did specific at Division II was there was a legislative proposal this year, actually going back last summer, about soccer preseason, and we were able to get together as a group and put together a letter that went out to commissioners and athletic directors, just giving a medical aspect of the proposal as the way that it was written. We can achieve some things that will not only specifically address athletic trainers, but also the health and safety of student athletes. So, and again, that's our role as athletic trainers, right? Our main role is to protect the health and safety of student athletes. And so it's really been an honor so far, and I'm looking forward to continuing. Also as part of that, Division II started a group this year out of the NCAA called the AT Connection. And as a representative of the East Coast Conference, being on that once a month has been great in addition to the ICSM role in connecting with other athletic trainers across the country. Obviously, sometimes on our agenda, there's some specific criteria to talk about, but other times it's just commiserate, right? I have this problem. Do you have the same problem? Or even search for ideas. Hey, we've got something that I've been thinking about. How is anybody else? Has this come up, and how are you managing it? So it really is a conduit, and it's been great. And I actually we just had our March meeting yesterday, and I got some information that I do want to present back to the ECC committee with Jessica, and I'd like to at least propose something. So yeah, it's been really neat, and I look forward to the opportunity to continue.
Awesome. Thank you, Jeff. Billy, not only do you care for athletes, but you are an athlete yourself. Word is you competed in an Ironman. Tell us more.
Yeah, so actually, this past July, I completed Ironman Vitoria Gasteiz in Spain. It's been kind of a goal of mine since college. In college, playing soccer, we watched all these inspirational videos. One of my roommates found a video of Team Hoyt, which was a father-son. The son had, forget what condition, it was a muscular dystrophy or something like that, that the father was basically taking him through the whole Ironman race. At that point, I was inspired. I was like, at some point, I want to be able to do an Ironman. Last summer, I completed it. The summer before, my cousin asked me if I wanted to do one with him. And it was like, I've wanted to do one, but I don't know if I have time. And that was like my excuse for the longest time. Last year, after I signed up for the race, I signed up for it a year in advance. Every waking hour, it was either training or work. So I spent the time last year, got ready for it, and was able to go to Spain for 2 weeks during the summer, see a little bit of the northeast of Spain, and then obviously complete the Ironman, which there's still not any real words to describe that feeling when I crossed the finish line. And then to cross the finish line, when I was expecting like 13 hours for completion time, I finished it in 10 hours and 28 minutes, which was
Great.
well beyond what I could have ever imagined, especially being my first one. I'd never rode the distance on the bike, which is 112 miles. The fastest I'd ever done 100 was 5.5, and I did the 112 in 5:08. I'd never done a marathon and completed that in 3 hours and 46. The swimming was 2.4 miles. The fastest I'd ever done that was an hour 30 something, and I did an hour and 22. So every time, everything I did was faster than I ever expected, and I was just, and it was all back to back. I'm so thankful to my cousin for even just being like, come do this with me. Otherwise, I would probably have not done it. So that was probably one of the more rewarding experiences outside of athletic training.
I'm speechless right now. All I have is congratulations for that incredible
Fantastic.
accomplishment.
Very
Wow.
cool. Thanks, guys.
We'll wrap it up. Is there anything I didn't ask that you think would be important for our listeners to know about athletic training? Jeff, we'll start with you.
We don't do this for recognition. We don't do this for awards. Almost everything that we do is in the background. But I'll tell you what means a lot when a parent, when a student athlete, comes up out of the blue. This is never expected, but when they come up and say thank you, it really hits home, because again, that's not why we do this. But when they come up and say so, it really means something, right? And that is part of the reason why I do what I still do, is that type of, I made an impact on somebody's life, and that's why I do this.
Allison?
Jeff, you said that perfectly, by the way, because it's exactly that. Another thing I would like to add is athletic trainers are people too. I think the biggest thing is that everyone expects us to be happy and good, like mentally every single day. And I think a big thing is that you have to remember, just like you guys have a bad mental health day, it's okay for an athletic trainer to have it also. Bill, what you're doing right now, for you to do that every single day and be able to put a happy face is amazing. Our athletes just need to remember, like, if we're having a bad day, it's okay. We're gonna do what we can every single day to make your day as great as possible, but you also have to give us some grace because being an athletic trainer is not easy. It's healthcare. It is having to be a provider for someone and be their best part, but sometimes we have to be okay with not always being our best because it's hard. It's hard doing what we do. As great as it is, the rewarding side of it, sometimes we have to be okay with not with being who we are. We're human. So I think the biggest thing is just remember that athletic trainers are humans also, because just like you guys have your mental health issues, athletic trainers do also. And giving us some grace sometimes is it's a big thing for us.
Billy, anything to add?
I think they both put that in great words. I would say that the nicest thing is when I do get those just random thank yous. I think the biggest thing that hits to me all the time is I know that I'm here a lot, but when the kids start to realize it, they're like, "Why are you still here?" And my answer to them is because of you guys. I'm not here because of the coaches. I'm not here because of the administration. I'm here because I want to help take care of you guys because they're the ones that see what's going on every day. They're the ones walking in the training room. They're seeing how busy it is. They're the ones seeing what we're doing for each one of them. That coaches aren't sitting in there every day watching what treatment's going on. So when they understand what's happening, I feel like, okay, maybe they see a little too much sometimes, but it's nice that they understand that they're evolving and becoming adults and seeing that it's not just about them. It's about everyone as a whole. And it's not me, 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 it's us. So I like that as an athletic training. And what Jeff said about the college setting, that's the one part that I liked going into the college setting is you're not dealing with grown adults. You're dealing with young adolescents into adulthood. You're trying to form those kind of adults that understand there's other people, that other people have feelings, other people are going through things. So, kind of summed up everything everyone said.
Jeff, Billy, and Allison, on behalf of the ECC and our student athletes, thanks to you and all of our ECC athletic trainers for your efforts day in and day out.
Thanks, Nikki.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Nikki.